Yeah, baby. From WWL, AMFM, and .com, the news, talk, and sports leader, it's the Spud Show. Talk gumbo. You want to add some spice to the conversation? Call 504-260-1870 or 866-889-0870. Now, WWL's Kingfish, the Spudster, one hot potato, John Spud McConnell.
Hey, way up, baby. How y'all making today? Thanks for joining me. Happy Tuesday to you. I hope you had a good Memorial Day weekend. I hope you had a good Memorial Day yesterday. I spoke with several people, but I'm not sure. I'm sure, you know, y'all had plans and barbecuing and such, and you needed that, quite frankly. Needed a time away from the spoil. If nothing more than a couple hours, go to one of the festivals that are around. Go to the World War II Museum. There's a bunch of different things. You can't dwell on this. I mean, look, we talk about this every day. We focus on it here at WWL because it's important. It's hugely important. That's what we talk about here, is what is hugely important to you guys. And right now, this is the big deal, and it's getting to be a bigger deal every day. It's getting to be a bigger deal for a lot of reasons. The president has now said he's introducing his commission, which I applaud him for, which I think is necessary. What I don't think is necessary is a six-month moratorium. I don't believe that's necessary. I think there's lots and lots and lots of drilling that goes on out in the Gulf safely every year. I just think they need to up the ante and up the technology and up the plans. But I don't think you need to shut it down to do that. And unfortunately, I think that's one of the roads we might be going down. The seafood industry has already taken a major hurt, as are the fishermen, of course. But also just the charter boat fishermen and the regular recreational folks and the people who come down here just to go walk on the beach. That's all been shut down. They put the quietus on that. Oil and gas industry, the port, and tourism. Well, this spoil is putting a big dent in the fishing. It's putting a big dent in the seafood. It's still good seafood out there. I spoke with a radio station from Detroit this morning, WJR, up there, and told them, look, point blank, if it's got Louisiana seafood written on it, we spent many, many, many years building up a good reputation, and we're not about to let it go. If it ain't good seafood, we ain't selling it. So, because I know there's restaurants. I've heard stories about restaurants up north in different areas and going, we don't sell Louisiana seafood. Well, that's nonsense. We ain't going to sell it to you if it's not worth eating. However, bunches of things in the works right here. One of the drums that I've been banging on for a long time was when I got some information from somebody who sells a product locally. That's oil cooties, as I've been referring to them. They're microbes. They're naturally occurring microbes that eat and break down oil. That's one of the arguments about the dispersants. You put dispersants on it, it breaks the oil down, and it allows the naturally occurring bacteria to more quickly and more readily consume a lot of the oil, the hydrocarbons. It breaks it down and makes it go away. That's what those things do. And I've been going, well, why haven't we been doing this all along? And we got myriad people calling up, talking about their different products. And I spoke with a company called Abco out of Florida, who they have basically their oil eating cooties infused into bagasse, and that's naturally occurring. It's the side effect, byproduct of sugarcane, and which we have tons and tons and mountains of. And other companies I've spoken about. Well, now I'm going to be joined by a fellow named Kevin Barbier from Denham Springs, who he's the owner of how do you say it, Kevin? Indtech or what? Or just spell it out. Where you at, Kev? Kevin, you with me?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, hey, hi there. Now you're going. Yeah, now I can Verizon you, and I hear you now.
All right, good deal.
Let's start out.
Indtech is the name of the company.
Say it again?
Indtech,
okay. Indtech Solutions, and you are a subsidiary or a distributor of a company who has this oil spill eaters out of Dallas, Texas, and y'all basically have these, and I just use the word cooties because I need to say funny things so I can deal with this stuff.
Is that okay? Actually, unfortunately, Spud, we don't have cooties. What we do is we grow indigenous cooties.
But that's what it is. It's basically, it is ramping up the natural oil-eating cooties that are out there.
Correct. What we do is our product has three things in it. It has biosurfactants. What biosurfactants do is they break down and detoxify the oil.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing it has is enzymes, and what enzymes do is they form at a molecular level to the broken-down oil, and they basically act as sticking a straw in a cup. They form a feeding site. Mm-hmm. And then we have a nutrient package. The nutrient package rapidly increases the growth of new bacteria, because when you have a spill, all the bacteria in the area die. All the bacteria that are proximal to the area, they'll stay away from it until it detoxifies enough for them to get close enough to start eating it. But what we do is we detoxify it within 15 to 30 minutes. It's the detoxification process has started, mm-hmm. and then the natural bacteria can start to grow and start to attack the spill.
And that's... Well, I saw, you know, there's so many different, my first question to you guys is, I've spoken with another fellow who called up out the blue, you know, who was on his way here with, and he has a company that, or represents a company that does something like this. They had just taken care of a big jet oil spill up in Bermuda, someplace. So okay. They've been around for years. So your company, the company you represent, has been around for years too. And I'm looking at your website, which I'm not doing right now because there's something wrong with our IT guy's fixing my computer. But I have looked at your website, and I'm looking at, actually I printed out something. I see on this website the insignia for every branch of the armed services, plus the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and a couple other ones that I don't even recognize. You guys, the company you represent, has been dealing with every branch of the military for a number of years now. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. Not only that, but are you familiar with the regional response teams?
I know. I've heard the term. I don't know all the details about them.
Okay, without getting too much into details, the regional response team composes 14 state and federal organizations, including the Coast Guard, that basically work out and approve what's going to be used on each individual spill.
Mm-hmm.
Louisiana.
Are these the infamous SWAT teams we've heard about? Not quite. Different animal?
I'm not sure.
Maybe it's the mitigation SWAT team.
Yeah,
there's so many terms that keep getting thrown around here now that I'm not sure about any of them.
Yeah, no doubt. But basically what the RRT does is it reigns over the National Contingency Plan, which is the plan for spills.
Mm-hmm.
Region 9 covers California. Region 9, and the reason I say this is because the United States Navy has a huge base in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
Region 9 has all kind of documented information on the product that they use in San Diego Bay for over 3.5 years with absolutely no impact to the environment whatsoever.
And we all know how California is touchy about the environment.
Exactly.
So if it passed muster...
Region 6, which is Louisiana, has actually approved the use of our product on the Osage Indian Reservation in Oklahoma, and we did a cleanup on a creek bed over there.
Mm-hmm.
It's more clear than a creek. It's probably wider than I-10 on two lanes, but it's bigger than a creek bed, but it's called a creek, and we did a cleanup with absolutely no ill effect to anything whatsoever.
Well, I've had a lot of people with different companies that have called, and they're all on the EPA list. And I mean, I don't want to sound like I'm downplaying your product, but one of the things I see, especially, number one, you're actually going to get to start using yours pretty soon. Is that correct?
Possibly. We're in the process right now. The what's going on right now is we met with the Coast Guard on Saturday
mm-hmm.
in at BP's facility in Houma, and we talked to them, and they were going to send our information up to get it approved. And what they're doing right now, they're in the process of sending it to the RRT. The problem that we have is the RRT is wanting to create a go, no-go type of test.
Mm-hmm.
And what that may do is that may prolong the use for about 30 days. Had our product been applied 30 days ago, we could have mitigated whatever we sprayed to this point. Our end result is carbon dioxide and water.
Yeah, and
so there's no secondary cleanup. You don't have to go back in and shovel anything else up. You spray it and move on.
Yeah. Well, and I'm going to pick it up right there when we get back. I'm going to step away, and I got a caller right now who's good. Frankly, that was my next question, and I got a caller who's going to ask it, so we'll go to the phones here too. But, yeah, My what I don't understand, and we'll touch on when we get back here, though, you've already been approved by the Coast Guard. So, I mean, when they're kicking it upstairs, I don't understand. Who are they kicking it upstairs to? Admiral Thad Allen is the response guy. Now, he was fixing to retire from the Coast Guard, but he is still the commandant, or he's the incident commander right here. You've already been used by the Coast Guard. You've already been used by the Army, the Navy, the Marines, NOAA. I don't even know what some of these signals are, some of these insignias are. You've been all over the place. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at another thing from your website here. You've been used for BP has used you. The BP blowout in Trinidad and Tobago. You've been used more than once. The Greece BP cleanup in Athens and Greece. So, I mean, we're talking about a company that the military and BP are both familiar with, and we're still 40-something days into it, and nobody sprayed Cootie One out there. So let me step away, and when we come back here, we'll start taking your call. But Dylan, you're first up because you had the question. Joey and the Marini and all the rest of y'all at 260-1870, 866-889-0870, our toll-free line. The Spud Show. Kevin Barbier, owner of Intech Solutions. He is a good Louisiana boy who is a representative of this company that is another one of the microbe companies that can help mitigate the loss of the wetlands here. And that's what we're trying to do. So we'll take your calls. Y'all get a cup of coffee. We got to talk. Back on the Spud Show, 260-1870, 866-889-0870 is our toll-free line. And, of course, we're talking about the spoil and one of the myriad different ways that they're talking about cleaning up the spoil. And that seems what they're doing just lately is talking about it. But finally, as many shows as I've done talking about the microbes that actually eat and dispose of oil, it looks like somebody's got their foot far enough in the door to get at least a demonstration going on. My guess is Kevin Barbier from Intech Solutions out of Denham Springs. You're going to be able to do a demonstration. I saw your YouTube video that y'all have where y'all have actually sprayed some of this stuff on private property in the Gulf. But it's like private property that you can walk up to. The problem is a lot of the spoil is out there on marshes that you got to use a boat to get to, and you got to get by the Coast Guard to do that.
Correct. I mean, we would have to get approval before we can do that. We were actually told that whoever it was that sprayed the stuff on that private property could potentially get in trouble because the overspill went into the water and it's not yet RRT approved. So even though
I'm sitting here with my mouth open. It's not like I didn't hear
too.
What you said.
Me too.
So it's a good thing you had your back to the camera, whoever did it.
Yeah, I'm not sure who did the spraying, but, whoever it was could potentially get in some trouble for spraying a non-toxic product that actually eats up oil on somebody's property.
But there's tons and tons and tons of this. It's like somebody sent me an email the other day that he and a friend were talking and were going, you know what, if I dump, 6 gallons of oil, or I pump 6 gallons of kind of oily water out of my bilge, I can get a $25,000 fine, which boils down to about $4,000 a gallon, plus go to jail. How much of that gradu has spewed out so far, at $4,000 a gallon as a fine? I'm trying to be realistic about all this kind of stuff, but I'm sorry, I cannot see where something that encourages microbes to grow, which is what the dispersant is supposed to be for. The dispersant breaks up the oil so that microbes can eat it.
That's actually incorrect.
That's not correct?
No, actually.
What do they do, just make it evaporate or what?
No, dispersants, what they do is they actually cause the oil to sink. That's the only job there. They have two jobs. The dispersants that they're using are the correction products, and both of the products have a chemical in them called 2-butoxyethanol. What the 2-butoxyethanol does is it basically erases the fingerprint of the oil. Any oil, you can tell where it came from by its DNA chain. Whenever you spray the correction products and different types of dispersants that have the 2-butoxyethanol on it, all they're doing is hiding it. They don't cause any microbes to eat anything because the dispersant is actually more toxic than the oil is. How can a microbe be the toxic thing? That's why the microbes all die out, is because they can't feed anything. The test that has to be done for a product to be classified as a dispersant, the product has to sink 45% of the oil in 30 minutes, and you get a pass.
Where can I verify this? Is this an EPA? Where's the EPA test?
EPA's MCP site. If you tag the National Contingency Plan, I believe they have a copy of the test parameter on there. If they don't, you can actually go to the listing, and it'll tell you how much of the product it did on the test. It may not have the parameter there, but it'll tell you what it did. The Correxit products, one of them, I believe, is 64% effective on Louisiana crude, and another one of them is like 50.4% effective on Louisiana crude.
Mm-hmm.
I heard,
but they don't eat. All it does, it makes it sink. It doesn't eat.
All it does, because basically, what you need to do is
get wait a minute. And I, you know what? No, let me go ahead and let Dylan ask his question. But I mean, my deal of it is here. I'm listening to the head of BP. Say that there are no oil plumes, and yet you're telling me Correxit makes oil sink, so there would be nothing but plumes. There would be oil underwater.
Possibly, but actually, depending upon how the oil is coming out, it can actually get caught in a plume by itself because of the possibility of top pressure being equalized by bottom pressure.
All right. Well, I got an engineer coming on next hour, so we're going to talk that stuff.
Yeah, you can ask him about that. He'll be able to explain that more than me. But oil can get there in some areas. There's a spot where it's going to quit sinking and quit rising.
Okay. Pressure. I'm writing this down. Dylan, thanks for calling in. You got the question I was going to ask. Let's let you.
Hey, Spud. What's up?
How you making?
I'm a sophomore at Holy Cross, and I just learned something a few weeks ago that interests me about the microbes. Did you know that the microbes burn a ton of oxygen when they disperse the oil? And my concern is that it could increase the size of the dead zone when they disperse the oil.
I spoke. Let me give my answer, and then Kevin, you chime in. I spoke with Don Dubuque, who does a show here Fridays and Saturdays, and he's on 26.
Right.
And he said that, yeah, the microbes may leave some, may deplete some of the oxygen around that area. And then my question to him was, how fast can you put oxygen back into it as opposed to, I mean, look, if oxygen depletion is gonna kill the cooties that are there, and the oil is gonna kill the cooties that are there, which one would you rather have killing the cooties?
I know, that's what I was thinking, and, you know, I guess the damage has already been done, so...
Well, it may kill some of the crabs and shrimp and some of the other stuff that's down there,
right.
But it ain't killing the oil's gonna do that, and the oil's gonna kill the grasses, which kills the wetlands, which the shrimp and the fish will come back to. So, I mean,
right.
To me... Nothing's perfect, and it's a lesser of two evils. Kevin, weigh in on that. How much of the oxygen is this actually going to eat away?
Actually, from what I understand, I don't have 100% of the scientific stuff down, but from what I understand about our product with the oxygen, because we are not introducing new bacteria, that's the big difference. If you bring in new bacteria, you have to find a way to fertilize it to it because you're going to have competition with indigenous bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you start to get most of your oxygen depletion. We have never had a problem. We've cleaned up over 14,000 spills in 21 years, over 4,500 of them in water, and we have never had a problem with fish kill at all. Not a one.
So the 3.5 years that y'all been cleaning up stuff, well, I mean, how many? It's not like people get in the middle of the San Diego Bay, because I think all the big screws churning water out of some of those destroyers and aircraft carriers kind of put the quietus on the fishing in that area, doesn't it? I mean, how do you go out there and measure oxygen levels after you're done with your stop?
No, because really you don't have to. If you look at the listing, you go on the National Contingency Plan and look at the EPA's own information under the toxicity and effectiveness part. There's not even a listing for toxicity. So if we could kill anything, it would have a toxicity attached to it.
All right, I got to step away. Dylan, thanks for the call. I got to step away. You got to do the news. Back with more of your calls and Kevin Barbier of Indtech, and we're talking about microbes and more mediation of the oil spoil coming on shore of the course. Who's in there? Chris Miller's going to bring us up to date. Then back on the Spud Show on WWL.
This is where everyone else gets their news. The news source for New Orleans and the Gulf South. The news, talk, and sports leader. The Big 870, 105.3 WWL-FM and WWL.com.
Back on the Spud Show at 260-1870-866-889-0870. Our toll-free line taking your calls. There's a product out there. It's approved by the EPA and all four or five branches of the military and the Coast Guard, including the Coast Guard. To clean up oil spills and not harm the environment, it's called Oil Spill Eater. And joining us on the phone today, Kevin Barbier of Indtech Solutions, and his company sells that compound. This is a product that has been used not only by the military, by the Coast Guard, but by BP also. And we're wondering what took them so long. 260-1870-866-889-0870, our toll-free line. So, Kevin, you guys are fixing to do what you call a go-no-go test, correct?
Well, what we understand is the Coast Guard are sending the information to the RRT, and the RRT wants to put together a go-no-go plan. What they want to say is, okay, we need to test your product to make sure it's good. They already know the product's good. Region 6, which is the region Louisiana's in, has already approved and used the product in Oklahoma at the Osage Indian Reservation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that Osage Indian Reservation is different than the Gulf of Mexico and the coast of Louisiana.
Yeah, it is, but, you know, whenever you use something and it has absolutely no ill effect whatsoever, the means is the same. It's different water, but the means of making the bacteria grow is the exact same thing. Doesn't matter the product, whether it's salt, brackish, fresh, mm-hmm. anything. It's not that big a deal.
How long does a go-no-go test take? What do they expect you to do? And what was the go-no-go? Have they told you what kind of go-no-go corrects it had to go to?
Well, I'll answer your last question first. Whenever they went to spray, the first corrective product they sprayed was 9527. There was no test. It was pre-approved. They went out and sprayed it. Whenever the public became aware of the damaging effects of 9527, they said, okay, we'll switch to another product. So they switched to 9500. There was no testing required. They went ahead and sprayed it. So what we're asking is, hey, why don't y'all give us the same leeway or whatever, that you give us the same testing criteria that you gave to Corexit,
mm-hmm.
which is none. Very aware of its effectiveness. And, mm-hmm. You know, we just want the same criteria, because if they wait a month to do the test, what have we done? We've killed a month's more worth of stuff.
Yeah. Let me get to the phones. 260-1870. Yes, Joey in the Marigny. What's up, Joey? How you making?
Hi, Spud. I don't know if you remember, but a year or two ago, they had this big barge. It had a humongous amount of oil in it, crude, mm-hmm. and it was hit by a ship that night, and it sunk right near the Mississippi Connection, the bridge out there.
Yeah, I remember. It shut down, shut down traffic for a while.
Well, you know, they didn't spray any dispersants. What they did do is put a big boom around it and suck up the residue that was coming up on the surface. And because they didn't want to spread no dispersants, because people down, notably St. Bernard, they used that for drinking water.
Yeah.
And they didn't want that in the water.
Correct.
Because evidently it's not too good for human consumption.
Not even close, no.
Yeah, so... Well,
a boil isn't going to do any good for that.
You know, you put an 800-foot boom around one of these tankers, and you suck up as much as you can. If they would have did that from the first week, it isn't too late if that thing's going to be spewing all into August. I think they better start right now and try something to that.
Well, let me ask you that, since you made that statement, Joey. Kevin, I mean, how many times is this stuff going to have to keep getting reapplied if they do this? I mean, you know, they always keep saying we're doing everything possible, and I'm just not buying it anymore, because they're not. There's many different things. The former president of Shell came out and said, look, use the super tankers and suck it up from there. But build the berms and let it run into the sand berms before it runs into the marsh or the chandeliers or any of the other barrier islands, mm-hmm. and then sprinkle your magic cootie dust on there and let it just be eaten away and not have to worry about. Because I saw in the news last night these guys leaning over the side of a boat and, like, wiping it up with a bunch of big baby wipes. And it's like, you know, I mean, come on. And not wearing a mask. And, I mean, you know, I just, if there's a way to do that, I said, look, you know what? You got a product. Somebody else got a product. Separate a mile. Give y'all, it's the biggest laboratory in the world right now. Spray your stuff out there, and you got, let's see what it does in 5 days, man. Boom off a section for you and let you spray your stuff and see what it does. Boom off another section, let some guy sprinkle his bag ass. Let the guys, the YouTube video, the guys with the hay, give them 100 yards and let them prove that their stuff works. It's not like it's going to ruin the marsh any worse than the oil's doing.
Yeah. I mean, one benefit that we have, I mean, really, honestly, I mean, as far as we're concerned, there's nothing that's even a close second, and we've actually got some documentation that would say that as well. Mm-hmm. But the good thing about our product is you mix it at a 1-to-1 ratio, 1 gallon of water per every 1 gallon of oil, and then it's 50-to-1 of our product. So, for example, a 55-gallon drum of oil spill eater will clean 2,750 gallons of oil, okay? So if I spray a 55-gallon drum, that 2,750 gallons that I just sprayed, you don't have to touch that again. That's done.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to reapply if it's already been applied to an area.
What about, but I mean, the areas we're talking about, tidal marsh, tides that come in and out of the marsh, too. I mean, you know.
Okay, let's say we go into the marshes and we're spraying on an area and we get some overspray. We spray it on the grass. The grass has been coated. So for 48 to 60 hours, any oil that washes in that has not been treated will not stick to the surface. We cause the oil to float, and we also cause the oil to lose its adhesive properties. So it won't be sticking to anything. You can actually spray, a rock or a stick or something down, stick it in the crude and pull it out, and there'll be nothing on the stick.
Now, is this the no-go test that you guys are going to be performing whenever they let you perform it?
I don't know if we're actually going to be the ones performing the go-no-go test. They haven't given us any information or any indication of that. They just said they need to do a test, which...
Now, you know what? I got to step away for a second. When I come back, give me your website. Let's tell everybody, because I know there's a bunch of videos on your website that people can actually look and see. Like, I think that stick test you're talking about, they can see a video of that.
Sounds good.
All right. What's the website there?
It's OSEI, like Oil Spill Eater International, .us. OSEI.us.
All right. Now give people a chance to go look at that. Cool. I'm going to step away and come back with more of your calls here. My guest, Kevin Barbier. He's the owner of Intech Solutions in Denham Springs. He is a rep for Oil Spill Eaters International. And it's just a continuation, not just. It is a continuation of the drum banging I've been doing about these oil cooties. If these things work and they have already been employed by other countries, by other governments, by BP. It's been used by BP. It's already been used by the Coast Guard. I don't understand what's going on. I don't see any legitimate argument for them to at least not let these people start their test today. They should have started it 45 days ago. But let's see what we can do. Back with more on the Spud Show right after this.
It's the Spud Show Talk Gumbo with John Spud McConnell on WWL AM FM and .com, the news talk and sports leader. To add some spice to the conversation, 504-260-1870 or 866-889-0870.
Next hour on the Spud Show, Dr. Gene Beck, an associate professor of petroleum engineering at Texas A&M, is going to join us. We'll talk about the different methods that they're using to try to put the quietus on the spew that's coming out of there right now. In the meantime, let's get back to our guest here, Kevin Barbier, with Intech Solutions. And we're talking about, for my favorite term, is cooties, the oil cooties. What this particular company does, though, and I've had another company call in and talk about this type of product, is it does not inflict the bacteria. It turns the oil it breaks down the oil so the natural bacteria will eat it. And again, it's been used by the Navy, it's been used by the Army, it's been used by the Coast Guard, by NOAA, it's been used by BP, according to your guys, Kevin, according to their website. Let's see, BP used it in Greece, BP used it in Trinidad and Tobago. At least that's the first two that I have on this one page that I printed out here of photo albums of the stuff that you have. People can go to OSEI.us and find out more about it. And there are other products like this. But basically, again, I don't understand why you got to do a go, no-go test when everybody who's be involved in the test has already used your product. So, I don't know. Explain it to me in a minute. But right now, let's get back to the phones. Lewis on the cell. What's happening, Lewis? You're on WWL.
Lewis had to get out and punch gas. but this is bad. Listen, whatever happened to Kevin Costner's machine or whatever his solution was to the gas?
I don't know. The only thing I can assume is that he's waiting for his no-go test because it looked like they were going to use it. However, since that's the last piece of information I heard. I'll talk to my producer and see if we can get his... The guy who I had on was an attorney here locally, and we'll see if we can get him back on the air and get an update. But that's the last I heard is that they was about to go, they were going to test it to approve it, and I don't know what's happening with that test.
Have we made any progress in getting BP to Kellis was in the disbursement stuff that they're putting out there. I also read today in the Sun Herald, we're in Mississippi, that they aren't letting loose with the tests that they did on the plumes. They're saying that they don't have any, and they're asking them to, according to their tests, and they're not letting the test out for people, other people, other scientists to study. Is there any mechanism that the country can take to force them to do that? I mean, it is our water and our country. We should be allowed to know what the heck is going on.
The only thing I can think of, well, I can think of a lot of them, but, you know, it entails you contacting all of our illustrious leaders.
Right.
And we saw what happened when the head of the EPA told them to quit using Corexit altogether. The response to that was, who?
Right.
So, and look, let me reiterate again. I am not against offshore drilling, and I am not in favor of putting BP out of business. BP, their stocks are dropping all over the world. But quite frankly, this is going to be a year-long cleanup thing, and I want those boys to make a profit because I want them to spend a chunk of that money on us on fixing this mess. I mean, it was... I don't know if it was an accident or just arguing back and forth. There's going to be a commission to study this and figure out what happened, you know. But, I mean, there's successful oil drilling going all over the place. That being said, I don't know why that they can make these kinds of demands off of a company like Kevin that he works with, and yet this other EPA, this other stuff, the EPA just gives them the permission and cuts them loose. I mean, I can speculate that it's big money, but that's it.
Yeah. Right, but we're at the state now where we have to do something to save ourselves, otherwise we're going to be in deep, deep doo-doo for a very long time. But anyway, if you get any information about that Kevin Costa thing, I'd love it if you put it on the air.
Well, we'll put in a call to his attorney and see if we can get him on and find out. Hey, Kevin, people can go online themselves and look up what Corexit 9527 and 9500 are composed of, can't they?
They actually don't have what the ingredients are. But you can go on the website and get some pretty scary information. If you Google National Contingency Plan,
mm-hmm.
It's going to bring you to an EPA website, and you can go in and look, and it's going to show a listing of all the products. And there's actually a listing that'll tell you it's a comparison of every product from the category that it's in, whether it's a dispersant, mm-hmm. whether it's a bacteria product, whether it's a
soap. I got you. And quite frankly, now as I sit here and think about it, I completely understand why they aren't going to tell you, because it's a trade secret. I mean, do you have, can I go on a website and find out how you make your stuff?
Nope, sure.
Well, then there you go. I mean, it's a business secret. I understand that. But
and that's not a problem. I wouldn't expect them to put out what's in it because, like you said, it's a trade secret. Mm-hmm. But you can look at the EPA's own information. And if you look at the toxicity numbers, the lower the number, the more toxic the product.
All right, that's good. I'll do that.
That'll scare you.
Let me step away for a second. Thanks. Thank you, Pat. 260-1870 is the number. Michael, Ricky, Joe, Tom, hang on. More of your calls and questions for Kevin Barbier. Intex, again, I'm talking about the microbes. Why are we not mitigating this with microbes? This is a company that may be getting a go-no-go test to give it a shot, and we'll see what's what here on the Spud Show on the Big 870 WWL. All right, back on the Spud Show at 260-1870, 866-889-0870. My guest, Kevin Barbier, Intex Solutions, and we're talking about using microbes to mediate or mitigate the grindu in the marshlands. Michael and Kenner. How's it going, Michael? You're on WWL.
Oh, great. How are y'all doing this
evening? Fine, sir.
This afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. I want to see if you could ask your guest, Kevin, if on the product label, what are any, if possible, side effects from the use of this product, and has the product been tested? Using shrimp or oysters, what would happen if they ingested the product and ultimately come?
Not a problem. This product has probably been tested more than any other product on the market.
Has it ever been used in a wetland situation like ours?
Yeah, that Trinidad Tobago was a marsh. It's actually used at Belchase Air Base purchases the product, so they use it right out there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's been used. Kind of give you a little anecdotal thing. You can actually use our product to clean animals, if that'll give you an idea how safe it is. Our product can be used to clean off animals that have oil on them.
So in other words, all these birds and otters and every turtles and everything, you can like mix up a big pot, a big water bucket of this stuff and dump them in there?
That's correct. And they did that. They were doing that in Valdez during the spill. They gave oil spill eater, a little slice of land to go play with, and the I think it was the Sea Lion Club or something like that was using the product to clean up animals. They had it a little bit too close to the shore. A wave came in when the tide came in, knocked the drum over, and some oil came in about, I think, a day later, and there was oil all on the peripheral, but where the oil spill eater fell and washed in and was able to rotate back and forth with the wave action, there wasn't a drop of oil on the land.
So what do you list as possible side effects?
There's none.
Zero.
If you go to National Contingency Plan and look up the EPA's own information under side effects or toxins, there's no known side effects. There's no known allergens. I mean, whenever you look at the product, it's a liquid. When you look at the product, it looks kind of dark. And if you smell it, it has kind of a sweet odor to it. And I'll give you one ingredient in the product. It's blackstrap molasses.
So if a human ingested it, it would not hurt a human.
Yeah, I mean, one of the owners of the company, a guy that was a former owner of the company, drank some on TV.
Sounds good to me. Got me sold.
Me too. I mean, look, I ain't going to go drink some, but, I mean, you know.
I tell you what, I'll drink it if one of the officials with Corexit will wash their hands with Corexit. I'll drink it.
Well, there you go.
Thank you.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Tommy on a cell. What's up, Tommy? You're on WWL.
What's going on, bud?
How you making, baby?
Hey, just got one thing to say about the reason why it's these products being slow to the market. And once you get into a situation like this, you have a number of lobbyists and things of that nature for these other companies that's already in the mix, i.e. like Halliburton. So their willingness to share the marketplace for these other companies it's going to be very, very, very low.
I understand that, but one of the things, you know, one of the arguments we always use with the Saints when people say, why does the state spend money with them? It's because they generate positive PR that you just can't purchase. And this is another, as far as I'm concerned, this is a situation where the positive PR could not be purchased if they were to clean up the wetlands without leaving a mess, you know. They got to clean it up anyway, and if they could do it with positive PR, then so much the better. That's what I don't understand. Tommy, I appreciate the call. Kevin, so you guys are going to keep banging away.